I'm going to give you both headlines from your book on some of the stories, and then you can fill in the gap as to what they were. Tell me a little bit about the teenager from Connecticut who had a brush with a serial killer.
I guess I'll do that one, George, because my folks still live in Connecticut. What happened was that I got an email from a man in Mystic, Connecticut, and he's an engineer. He's a very successful engineer, and he said, "I understand you're writing this book. I want to share a story with you." And the story that came out was that he had a niece, a teenager named Cynthia, who lived in Connecticut, who was a lot of trouble with her parents. She was, I think, 15 or 16 at the time. She was running with the wrong crowd. She was with bikers and people had druggies and people like that that were not good for her. And one day she was hitchhiking home, and she got picked up by a man who was very well dressed and who told her that he was an insurance agent. And he asked her out for a date. And when she came home, she told her parents. Her parents were quite excited because this was the exact type of person that you'd want your daughter, right, to go out with, you know, get away from those bikers and that and go out with a nice insurance agent. And so what happened was that she accepted the date. The guy came to her house. He sat down in the living room with the parents. The parents were talking with him. They were very impressed with him, very nice guy, very well-spoken, very well-dressed, you know, mild type of person. And the daughter was getting ready. She walked out of her room, walking down the hall to finish her freshening up for this date. She took one look at him as she passed by the doorway and went back to her room and locked her room.
And locked her door.
And so after about 10 minutes, the parents are still waiting for her to come out. They start knocking on the door and what's going on? Are you ready yet? And she said, I'm not coming out. And they said, you got to be crazy. This man's sitting in your living room. You've accepted a date. You have to come out, and you're going to have to go with this man because you've accepted this date. She said, I'm not going to do it. I'm just not going to do it. And she said, but then the parents said, according to this man, the parents said, well, come out and tell the man himself why you're not going to go on the date. She walked out the door. She looked the guy in the eye, and she said, there's something terribly evil about you. She walked back in. She locked the door. The parents were embarrassed. The man didn't say anything. He just, you know, said, okay, he left and goodbye. And what happened was, a year later, the parents were looking in the newspaper, and they saw a picture of the guy who was in their room, the insurance man. And the insurance man was Michael B. Ross, the serial killer who's now on death row in Connecticut for killing 8 women. I believe it's 8 women. And who's, she trusted her instinct. It's hard to, you know, how much was instinct, how much was intuition, but the net of it is she saw something terribly evil in the man. She trusted it. She locked her door, which she had never done before in her life, and she avoided death.
What an incredible story. And equally so, he had a year to come back and try to do something to her, and he didn't do that, so she was fortunate there too.
Yeah, I later had some email and conversation with the parents, doing a little follow up, because again, we don't claim that these stories are absolute proof. We didn't go out and interview in great detail and check every fact and things like that. They were screened by a psychologist, Sally, and we looked for a lot of detail and things like that. And in this case, I know the man very well. Actually, the man who sent the case. So I followed up a bit, and there were a lot of questions. I mean, how did she know? Why did she know? What did she see him? And I think his point was that this was something that's a good example of intuition. It's one of those. It's one of the ways we get ESP, and we'll talk about that in a minute, I'm sure.
Well, and again, was this just her picking this up, or was he somehow transmitting something, and she got on his wavelength, like that radio show that we put out, if you're on the right frequency, you pick up coast to coast. I wonder if somehow he was broadcasting, and she picked it up.
Boy, George, I wish we knew. That's a great question. The fortunate thing for them and their daughter is that whether he was sending it or she was picking it up or what, she saved her life.
Absolutely.
Well, it's a parent's nightmare.
What a great story. I mean, that's indicative of the stories in the book. What about the little child who saw a dead bicyclist? That's an amazing story.
Mm-hmm. Sally, you want me to go through that one again?
Yeah, you can go through that one, too.
That was, sorry, some of these Sally's worked on and some of I worked on, you
okay.
know, so we know a little more. That one's another great one. And what happened was that there was a lady in a traffic jam, and she had a four-year-old son called Danny in the back of the car. And we changed the names of people to protect their identity, but we know who they are. And Danny and his mom were in this car. They're driving down the street in this major city in the east, and they get in a traffic jam. And suddenly, Danny, from the back of the car, asks his mom, "Mom, why does that lady have blood on her?" And the mom can't see anyone anywhere around, and she said, "You know, Danny, what are you talking about?" And he said, "Mom, outside the window, right next to me, the lady has a bike helmet on. She's bleeding from her head." And so the mother couldn't see anybody, and she didn't know what to think about it, obviously.
Yeah.
It's very strange. And what do you say if your son says that? You know, what do you say if a four-year-old boy
says that? And you look around like, you know, am I missing this? You know,
yeah,
that's
exactly.
Like,
what's happening?
Where is she? Yeah.
And so what happened was that they finally got, they kept driving along this congested street, and they finally got to the accident scene, and they didn't know what had happened, but they knew that there was an accident. That's why there was a traffic jam. There had been an accident, and there was an ambulance there and that, but they couldn't see what had gone wrong or what. But the next day, the woman gets her paper, and you can guess what happened. She opened the paper, and they found that a lady had been killed on a bike there a half an hour before they went by.
Chilling. And somehow the little boy saw the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And to me, the amazing thing is, as you were saying and Sally said, you know, if you're an adult, you might say, "I think I'm hallucinating."
Mm-hmm.
If you're a little kid, you say, "Hey, Mommy, there's somebody bleeding outside the car." I mean, there's no embarrassment or fear of telling what you see.